story of Purim. But to set that up, let me read a few verses from Proverbs chapter 1. It says, "My son, heed the discipline of your father and do not forsake the instruction of your mother. For they are a graceful wreath upon your head, a necklace about your throat. My son, if sinners entice you, do not yield. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us set an ambush to shed blood. Let us lie in wait for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive, whole, like those who go down to the pit. We will obtain every precious treasure. We will fill our homes with loot. Throw in your lot with us, and we will have a common purse. If they say that, my son, do not set out with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil. They hurry to shed blood." Who is this written about? I think of two stories in the book of Esther. One, first of all, in Proverbs, we see the wise teacher instructing his students not to go along with those that have all kinds of enticing schemes. Say no to schemes. That's not just a good say no. Just say no. Nancy Reagan taught us. Back in the 80s, I remember that. It was about something else. But when people come along and they have a really cool idea, just say no. You'll save yourself all kinds of problems and sorrows. There were two times in the book of Esther that somebody should have just said no, and it would have solved, well, we wouldn't have had a Purim holiday. But I don't know. In Esther chapter 1, after Queen Vashti is deposed from the city of Shushan. Actually, it doesn't tell us in the book of Esther, but in Jewish tradition we're told that she's actually executed for her unwillingness to come and to appear in the king's banquet. We're also not told this in Scripture, but also in Jewish tradition, we're told that she was to come wearing her crown. That is, only her crown. And justifiably, she said, "Are you kidding me?" And so, according to Jewish tradition, she is executed. In chapter 1, then, in verse 13, it says, "Then the king conferred with the wise men who knew the times and to all who knew law and justice. Those closest to him were Karshena, Sishar, Admasa, Tarshish, Meretz, Marsena, and Mekhukhan, the seven officers of Persia and Media who had access to the king, who sat first in the kingdom, as to what should be done legally to Queen Vashti for not obeying the bidding of King Ahasuerus conveyed by the chamberlains. The youngest and the seventh of them, Memucan, spoke up." I don't know if the last was to be first in that case, but the last in their rank of the seven given speaks up, and he makes a speech, five verses long. and almost longer than anything else we'd seen in the story to this point. Listen to his speech. It says, "It is not only the king who Vashti is wrong, but also the officials and all the people and all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For this deed, the queen will come to the attention of all women, making their husbands contemptible in their eyes by saying, 'King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she did not come.' And this day, the princes of Persia and Media who have heard of the queen's deed will cite it all to the king's officials, and there will be much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go forth a royal edict from him, and let it be written into the laws of Persia and Media that it will not be revoked, that Vashti never appeared before King Ahasuerus, and let the king confer her royal estate on another who is better than she. Then when the king's decree, which he will proclaim, will be resounded throughout his kingdom, great though it be, all the wives will show respect to their husbands, great and small alike. This proposal pleased the king and the officials, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. And they sent out a decree across the land that every man should rule in his own home and speak whatever language he wants to speak. To me, that's really curious. What on earth was that about? What's this about speaking whatever language they desire to speak? But in any case, I think it's interesting what Memucan and these officials do. The king asks a question about, what do I do with Vashti? And the answer has nothing to do with Vashti. It's a statement of fear. And it's like when all the governors and all the legislatures get together to pass a law, they seem to slip a bunch of stuff in the bill. Don't they? You wonder, well, where did this crazy law get passed? And, well, they added it on to an appropriation bill to build a bridge. Oh, great. Well, what does this have to do with a bridge? But that's exactly what happens here. They were going to pass a law to do something, what to do with Vashti. I think she loses her neck. But they say, well, while we're at it, let's pass this law that to subjugate and make women fearful in our kingdom. It's not that women didn't already respect their husbands. That's happened since Abraham and Sarah. But there was a lot of fear going on here. And they silence a whole bunch of people out of their fear. This is coming from the wise ones, where we're told. There's one other time in the book of Esther where the wise men appear. And that is in chapter 6. And this is after Haman leaves better on this side than this side. You guys over here need to work on this a little bit, okay? So when you hear the name Haman, still a little weak over here. You guys are still winning. You'll need to do that, just boo. Remember, we have to blot out his name. You know, in Jewish tradition, sometimes in different places, they would use chalk and write that guy's name on the bottom of their shoes. And then as they would dance around on Purim, the chalk would get rubbed off. So literally, they would be blotting out his name. I think that's kind of a neat idea. So after he paraded Mordecai around the city of Shushan, Mordecai returns to the king's gate, and Haman were told, you guys are really getting ready for tonight. He returns home mournful and despondent. We're literally told that his daughter, in Jewish tradition, we're told that his daughter dies. That as he has led Mordecai on the king's horse around the city, her daughter was up on a balcony and she was going to take a flower pot and throw it at Mordecai's head. Well, she didn't play baseball or softball when she was in high school, and she missed. And she hit her dad's head, Mr. Unspeakable. And so when she hit Haman on the head, she jumps off the balcony and dies. So this is why Mordecai hurries home, we're told in chapter 6, verse 12, mourning and despondent, with his head covered. Haman told his wife Zeresh and his friends everything that had happened to him, you know, about leading Haman around and Mordecai. And Haman. And so he comes home and he tells his friends everything that had happened. And then we're told that his advisors and his wife said to him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will undoubtedly fall before him. It's interesting that just as the king had not brought up this issue back in chapter 1 of all the wives in the kingdom, it's just that his wise guys seized the opportunity to put in some pork in the bill that they're going to pass. So the same thing happens with the wise guys here. When the bad guy comes home and he tells his wife and his friends what has happened, what the king made him do in honoring Mordecai, they say, oh, well, let's slip in some pork into this legislation that we're going to pass. Why don't you just really silence this guy? It's interesting, in this case, just as in chapter 1, the wise men proposed to silence all the women in the land, so now the wise men propose to silence Mordecai. Of course, this time, permanently silence him. So while they were still talking, the king's chamberlains arrived, and they hurried to bring Haman to a banquet, which, you guys are good, which Esther had arranged. Proverbs says, listen to the wisdom of your father, your mother, your teachers. Listen to their wisdom. Don't listen when others come to entice you to say, oh, I have this great scheme. I know who we can rob. I know who we can bump off. I know who we can persecute. I know who we can silence. Why don't you come join us? What's the answer?
No.
Thank you. And, you know, the wisdom of God, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, is not as fun and exciting . In fact, God's wisdom seems sometimes just downright stupid. I didn't say it. Paul said it. Rabbi Paul said in 1 Corinthians, it's actually chapter 1, Verse 18, the message of the tree, by the way, it's the same word used for gallows in the book of Esther. It's actually there in the book of Esther. It's actually hang him on the tree. And the message of the tree, this time the execution stake of Yeshua, is foolishness. It's stupid. To those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Paul says, the wisdom of God is foolishness to the Greeks, to the Gentiles, to the those that have rhetoric and debate and can argue, as Rod would say, argue you into the ground and throw up all kinds of great answers. The teaching of God's wisdom is just nonsense. It can be argued away. It's foolishness. And to the Jews, the message of Messiah is a stumbling block. It doesn't say they won't talk to you about it. But anytime there's the discussion, there's the things that we're going to trip over, the things that cause us to foul up. This doesn't make sense in light of X, Y, and Z. This is not the expectation. This is not what we know of God, our Jewish people tell us. A Jewish woman once at one of our Sukkot gatherings at David and Charlene's told Rod and I, as we were sitting talking with her in David's sukkah, she said, I'm Jewish. I have a get-out-of-jail-free card. The message of Messiah is a stumbling block. Luckily, Paul says, has Israel stumbled so far as to not get up again? Do they stumble and lay there? Paul says, no, of course not. God lifts them up. But that's a different sermon. The message of God's wisdom is not as enticing as the messages of wisdom that you hear from the wise guys in the world around us. It was not the enticing message that the king in Esther chapter 1 heard, or that Haman heard in Exodus or Esther chapter 5 and chapter 6. Do not listen to those messages. Just this morning, in conversation about a different topic with my wife, I thought of a passage that Rabbi Shaul Paul tells one of his disciples, a man named Timothy. He says, there are people that like to follow enticing words, interesting little sound bites, fanatical ideas. You know, nowadays it's there's a guy going around in our country talking about, Messiah's going to come back at such and such a time, and he's even put up billboards. And get ready. By the way, his deadline passed, and now it's, talk about other things, signs in the sky and things that sound enticing, but in the end, they're smoking mirrors. They're the wisdom of men. They're not the truth of God. What would have happened in Esther chapter 1 if the king had just certainly said, no, you're not going to trick me into passing decrees that are wrong? If he had done that in the beginning, then Haman wouldn't have been able to talk the king into destroying the Jews. He came to the king and with this really enticing speech, there's a people. Oh, you have to fear them as much as I do. You have to be carefully taught to hate all the people that your parents hate. You have to be taught before you're 6, 7, or 8. Song thanks to Oscar Hammerstein and Carl Rogers. Great song, my favorite song from South Pacific. It's a song about anti-Semitism. Well, at least connected to the Book of Esther. You have to be carefully taught. And this is what Haman was trying to seduce the king into. The world's wisdom is destructive. Proverbs chapter 1. When you hear these voices, and the teacher in Proverbs chapter 1 tells his student, you will hear these voices. He doesn't say, well, you know, there are people that do this. It says, when you hear these voices, righteous people can still hear the voices of wisdom that is not appropriate. When you hear these voices, do not be enticed. Don't be drawn into that trap. Later, about 4 or 5 chapters later in Proverbs, the teacher tells the student their path is the highway to hell. That's what it says. Now you know where the title of that song came from, that maybe you heard. Their path, their feet are on the highway to hell. Don't go along with the wisdom. In spite of those two uses of wisdom in the book of Esther, God overcomes as we remain faithful and dedicated to Him. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. The little kid song says, be careful, little ears, what you allow yourself to listen to. And when you hear it, the Proverbs teacher says, just say no.